So grace and peace to you from our gracious God in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is the second Sunday of Easter. And, well, we usually hear about that guy Thomas and how he supposedly doubts that Jesus showed himself to the disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. This is a lectionary reading every single year for Easter Sunday number 2, second Sunday of Easter. I know that we were in the narrative lectionary, was hoping and hoping and hoping that it would be something different. I asked Pastor what the narrative lectionary reading was. We're in the year of John for the narrative lectionary. So, you guessed it, it's Thomas. Once again, so she and I decided to change it up a bit with the next chapter in the Gospel of John. Breakfast on the beach and the miraculous catch of fish and a discussion about the disciple that Jesus loved. I have no idea if this is part of the lectionary or not, but we know it isn't preached very often, so there's one point I would like to make. In our very last paragraph, we see Peter eyeing the disciple that Jesus loved. And he even asked Jesus, what about him? There's no reason given as to why Peter might ask Jesus that. Although we can find various other times in the gospel where Peter made some amazing statement or blurted out something incredible like, we should make 3 booths for Elijah and Moses and Jesus. And he also said, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. And we also hear from Peter, you are the Messiah. Here he asked Jesus a simple question. What about him? What's the deal, Peter? Are you jealous, Peter? Have you spotted a competitor, Peter? What are you so worried about? Jesus responds with basically, it's none of your business. It's nothing for you to worry about. And then he adds, follow me. We've heard that before from Jesus, right? Like 20 times in the gospel, Jesus says, follow me. He calls his disciples like Matthew or Levi, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and Philip with, follow me. But in this passage, I heard a little bit different thing. It almost sounded like a rebuke. Jesus said, follow me. Don't follow him or be worried about him. Follow me. Don't worry about the world and what it thinks of you. Follow me. Don't concern yourself with all the different dogmas out there. Follow me. Don't follow someone only because they have a title called pastor or theologian or Bible expert. Follow my teachings. Follow my lead. Pick up your cross and follow me. We have to remember that it is not the pastor's church, right? Whose church is it? It's not the Bible expert's church. It's not the theologian's church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of that body. And Paul had given us a warning already when he said, for it has been reported to me, this is in Corinthians, by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you. My brothers and sisters, what I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? This is Paul's question to them. No. Christ has not been divided, and I, and you, and we belong to Christ. We are the ones that are divided, and shame on us for that. It's not a noble thing that there are so many Christian denominations, but this is the 21st century. Well, here we are with however many denominations and non-denominations there are, trying to force the hand of God by warring so that Jesus will come back to us now. Is this Christianity? Are we following Jesus? Jesus is screaming, "Follow me." Is it the cause of justice to turn our backs on the alien in the land and believe that it is supposed to be some kind of patriotism? Is this Christianity? Are we following Jesus? Because Jesus says, "When I was a stranger in your land, you welcomed me." And Jesus pleads with us, "Follow me." Is it mercy when we send our young men and women to war? When they return, we forget about them? Let them wander the streets until they're able to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps? Is this Christianity? Are we following Jesus? Because Jesus said, "When I was sick, you took care of me." Jesus cries, "Follow me." Jesus says, "Follow me." And Martin Luther says, "Be little Christs for others," meaning that we should behave and teach and listen just like Christ did. How did Christ behave? How did Christ behave, and what did he teach? Well, when God wrote the Bible and bound it in leather and put each of our names on the front cover with gold leaf and delivered it to us in one day shipping, better than Amazon, a miracle happened. By the time it reached us, all of the words spoken by Jesus were suddenly in red ink. Yeah, psych. Jesus never had a Bible to read. Jesus never had any of the Christian scriptures. He had scrolls of the Hebrew Bible. The Christian scriptures weren't written yet because Jesus was still alive, and everything written was written after he finally died, so we would know about him. Just by reading these red words of Jesus, we receive grace. Scripture is a means to grace. Reading these words, we learn what and how Jesus taught his disciples in the first century, so that we might learn to imitate Jesus as his disciples did. Like Martin Luther said, "Be little Christs for others." There is one problem, though. It can be hard to follow everything that Jesus taught, right? It can be hard. Love those that hate you. Love your enemies. Loves those that revile you and speak all evil against you? These are difficult words to live by. They teach us to forsake some of our humanness. That living in the flesh, as Peter, or as Paul might put it, it's hard. But guess what? When, not if, when we fail, we can be forgiven and live into the grace that Jesus constantly gives us. Grace upon grace. These red words have come to us from the source of that grace. The red words are a source of kindness. The red words are the heart of the gospel of Christ Jesus. The red words are the source of peace. The red words are the source of hope, which does not disappoint. Hope that can transform the world by transforming ourselves, transforming our lives, transforming our churches, transforming the way we look at our sisters and brothers, and our sisters and brothers that may not actually share our faith. These red words are transforming the world. And there's so many things in the world that are fighting against that. These words are red because it's the very heart of Christianity. Because it's Christ who gave us these red words. And I have to remind people time and time again, over and over, that the Bible, sitting on your coffee table, is not the Word of God until it is opened up and read. This becomes that transforming Word of God. Now, these are red, R-E-D words, as Christ, words of Christ Jesus, and we need to have read, R-E-A-D, and taken seriously these words, because they are the gospel, according to Jesus Christ. These red words of Jesus is where we find the words, follow me. Follow me. And through those words that transform us, we can transform the world. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.